Hello and welcome to another edition of the Chesapeake Hockey Week. I am your host, Scotty Waz. How are y'all doing today? That's great. Did you get through April Fool's without being fooled? Perfect. It's good. We like to hear that. This week, short porch week as we wind down the season, everybody. The Maryland Black Bears were in New Jersey and, we'll get into that in a minute. The Frozen Four is going on and went on across the nation. I came back from the Fargo route as Denver comes out of that bracket there. But we have some Maryland content as Jason O'Neill of Odington was in the Providence bracket as his Providence College Friars took on some teams. And we'll see what the result of that. Does he go on? Does he end his or does he finish his college season like that? And we'll also have some players to talk about. But first and foremost, we'll get to the Maryland Black Bears. Now, coming off a bye week, be interesting to see how this team does. Obviously, battered and bruised and everything like that. So a week off late in the season does them fairly well, although in the grand scheme of things, this team is out of it. It's now just a chance to figure out what's up for next year, do some evaluation, and then hope for the best. They went to New Jersey, took on the Titans, last series against those guys this season, and boy, Friday night got off to a good start. I don't know why I said it like that. Friday night got off to a really good start. Luke Mountain gets his 17th of the season, unassisted, all alone, chipped it past the New Jersey Titans defense and went high glove side, almost like he did in that last second overtime victory of a few weeks back. So he has a move, and it doesn't, you know, people can't stop it, it seems. So midway through the first, that happened, and then just over a minute into the second period, Lucas Youngblom got his sixth of the year, Jude Curtis with his first assist as a Black Bear, and Jonathan Young, his 25th assist, and then things started to unravel just a wee bit as New Jersey, bang, 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 three goals in about 9 minutes here. Mitch Matchlett got his 13th of the year, Kyle Jeffers, 23rd assist. Gavin Goulash, 4 minutes later, got his 25th of the year, Eric Manukian and Ryan Namofsky on the power play on that one, and then Michael Altzen from Matteo Minotti, remember that name, kids, and Cam Gendron. Three unanswered goals to end the second period, and Maryland was had their backs against the wall. Minute in, Jude Curtis comes in, gets his second goal of the year, Kareem Del Ponte, Luke Mountain on the assist there. Battle back and forth, and then Kyle Jeffers gets his 25th from Panukian and Kyler Head, and that's all she wrote there. Late chances for both sides. All for naught. David Tomeo gets the loss. He had 29 saves on 33 shots. So, tough outing for him. His first game back in a couple. A very, very decent game for the Black Bears. They did look rested. They did look refreshed. But as was pointed out to me by Gene Pennington, who is a volunteer and also goes to a lot of big supporter of the Black Bears going on the road, this team was only playing four natural defensemen. Luke Salem, Sean Henry, Lucas Youngblom, Kareem Del Ponte. That was it. That's cause for concern. I'm not going to lie to you. In this kind of era, you can't have forwards try to play defense. I mean, I know Merrick Wozniak's done his best, but in a thing like this, in a game like this, in a league like this, you almost have to have natural players playing their natural positions. I understand bringing in future forwards, bringing in this, that, and the other, but defense should be paramount number one. Should be the number one reason. Or number one priority, especially when you had guys traded away, like your boy Quinn Warmuth, guys who have been injured, like Bradley Gendron and Logan Kahns. You have to have that built back up, and I'm not sure if this was an oversight, if there was a plan in place, but it's kind of an interesting situation why there were only four natural defensemen suited up for this weekend. And that showed on Saturday night because, boy, 7-3 thumping, and they only got the three for the sheer fact that Maryland got two goals late and very late. But right off the hop, Brody Mezeros, his fifth of the season, a cannon from the point. Kyle Jeffers on the assist. Then Mac Wiseman gets a little pass over from Matteo Minotti, bangs it home. Cam Gendron on the assist there. Early in the second period, Jonathan Young scramble in front. Nice little blast from Sean Henry. Young gathers it up, his ninth of the season. Mountain on the assist there. Matteo Minotti comes back, beats his old team midway through the second there. His eighth of the season, Gendron and Ben Perico on the assist. DMV native Ben Perico. Gavin Goulash then on the power play, his 26th of the season for Manuki and Macklett. On the power play, Chris Garbey, another one on the power play, kind of just alone in front, kind of just passed out by Kyle Jeffers. Actually, the pass was in front, got deflected. Garbey was right there, puts it home, his eighth of the season on the power play. Joseph Glamos, 8 minutes into the second, got another goal for himself, his ninth of the year. Shane Havlett and Garbey on the assist, and then Garbey on the power play once again, ninth of the season. Havlett and Jeffers on the assist there. Late into the game, Maryland did try to crawl back a little bit with 1:14 left in the game. Jonathan Young gets his 10th of the season. Juke Curtis and Kyle Alexiak on the assist on the power play there. Luke Posner then, less than a minute after that, with 28 seconds left in the game, gets his 6th of the year. Nick Grimaldi, Connor Pooley on the assist, but it was all for naught. 7-3, your final. Andrew Takis, 32 saves in the losing effort. Obviously, defense was an issue. There was a lot this weekend of just pucks not getting out of the zone, whether it be on the power play, whether it be just throwing 5-on-5. Just bad passes being turned over, mishandled. Pucks just not getting hard off the glass. Outlet passes not being hard enough or getting picked off in the neutral zone. Breakout passes being mishandled. It just was a bevy of things. And then you look at the power play. New Jersey was 4-for-5 on Saturday, 1-for-3. On Sunday, you do that math, that's 5-for-8. It's not that great, kids. It's not great. 5-for-8 on the power play. That's great for New Jersey. Not great for the Black Bears. Black Bears themselves, 1-for-11. So, this season is a grind. And I think a lot of the young players are learning that. I think I looked it up. Only 4 or 5 players on this team have gone through a full NHL season. It's a hard league, man. It's a hard league to play in, especially with this East Division where it's beating and banging. It's almost akin to the Western Conference in the NHL where it's a lot of hard hitting. You know, there's some finesse in there, sure, but, you know, you got to make sure that you're able to lay the body and absorb a hit. This is a tough pill to swallow. I mean, Friday they looked great. Friday they looked fantastic. Saturday it just fell to crap. And not much you could say. I mean, not much more you could say about it other than, you know, this thing happened. So we move on to the last weekend of the year. We'll see what this weekend does to them. We'll see what this weekend has in store. We'll see if we have forward defensemen. The Black Bears have a chance on Friday night to play a spoiler. A little bit of a spoiler. Because the Northeast Generals don't play until Saturday, it looks like. They play Saturday, Sunday against New Jersey. It would be a hell of a thing if the Black Bears knock off Wilkes-Barre Scranton on Saturday or on Friday and help clinch the Northeast Generals a playoff spot. Or Saturday, too, because Saturday they play in the afternoon. 3:30 start time on that one. So there's options for the Black Bears to go ahead and play themselves a little bit of a spoiler role, a little bit of a good thing, I guess, you can put forth. But, yeah, there is going to be an interesting situation to see what the lineup is, see how everyone's played out. Because if I'm I'm going to look here. Let's take a look at the defense pairings for this weekend if they put the line charts up. Because thank God, thank goodness for everybody for them putting the line charts up every now and again. Every now and again, it does not look like it's every time though. So there's no line charts for Friday or Saturday. So, such is life, right? We will see if the line charts are out, and we'll see what the defense pairing does. But, you know, defensive zone coverage is a big thing that needs to be addressed. Special teams is a big thing that needs to be addressed. A lot of things need to be addressed. And I know it's late in the season, but you can't give up those fundamentals like that quickly. So, here's to the Black Bears. Hopefully they can get on track, end the season on a high note. That'd be huge for them. I think the morale in the room would be good. And we'll see where things are headed after that. And obviously, we'll review the games next week. We'll do a post-mortem after that. Let it settle a little bit. And then kind of go out on that. It'll kind of coincide with something I'm doing on studywaz.com with the Black Bears and things like that. So, yeah, here's to that. If you guys go out to Wilkes-Barre Scranton, it is a Friday night, Saturday afternoon tilt. 7 o'clock Eastern for Friday night, 3:30 Eastern. On Saturday afternoon, go out to Wilkes-Barre, support your team, support your local team if you got the chance. Nice weather, why not go out and do it? Like I said, the Frozen Four happened this, or the road to the Frozen Four, rather. The NCAA men's hockey tournament happened this weekend, the qualifying rounds in all across this fine land. Manchester, New Hampshire, Providence, Rhode Island, Allentown, PA, and Fargo, North Dakota. I went to the Fargo one. That was an exciting one to see American International in their first tournament ever get their first tournament win as a 16 seed over St. Cloud State, the number one overall seed, and a lot of people's picks to win the whole damn thing. Oopsie poopsie. So the big thing with that, there was one Marin player in it, and that is Jason O'Neill. Now O'Neill, a former Washington Little Caps alum, a Skipjacks Hockey Club alum, went to the BCHL, went to the USHL, now in Providence in the NCAA as a sophomore. And Providence is now on to the Frozen Four. How about that? Big comeback for them on Saturday night against the number one seed in the region and number three overall, Minnesota State Mankato. 6-3 victory, 6 unanswered goals for Providence, and including Jason O'Neill's empty netter to give and seal the win for Providence. They went on to play Cornell, shut out Cornell 4-0. Nothing from O'Neill on that one, but Providence moving on to the Frozen Four, which will take place April 11th. That's when the Frozen Four starts in the championship game, April 13th. We might have to extend this podcast just a little further into the season and see what's up and see what has happened overall, and see how this all plays out for him and the Providence College Friars. I'm all in for the Friars, man. Now that American International is out, I'm not Denver, Minnesota, Duluth, NCHC rivals here of North Dakota. Can't really root for them. UMass, I haven't been a fan of them since John Calipari left in the basketball. He was UMass, right? He got into it with Cheney of Temple. Anyway. I mean, Providence has a lot of Maryland guys, Kyle Laughlin, one of them as well, who played there. So, Providence, a lot of Maryland entities, two of them, at least that I can count. Shout out to Jason and hope for the best, as the Frozen Four chugs along. Now, Jason wasn't the only player in action, this weekend. Sam Annis had one assist against the Grand Rapids Griffins as the Iowa Wild dropped to them on Tuesday night. Then Eric Sweetman of the Idaho Steelheads, they're getting ready for the playoffs. He had one assist against Rapid City last Wednesday. A season has come to an end, and that's Adam Varga. His season is done in Mississauga, his second year in the OHL. A little bit better. 6 goals, 9 assists, 15 points total, 12 penalty minutes, and -12. On the plus-minus stat that no one really gives a crap about. His season this year, like I said, a little better. Got more game time in. Went from 46 to 63 games this year. Went from one goal to six. Went from 6 to 6 to nine. So overall, he has gotten more well-rounded. Less playoff games. Only played two of the four that happened. And, I mean, this is uncharted territory for some of these young Marylanders. I mean, as a 17-year-old kid, still on the rise, still growing to jump up from under 15 in the U.S. to the OHL, that's a huge leap. And, you know, it'll take some getting used to. Whether or not he's on this team next year, who's to say? Whether or not he breaks out next year, who's to say? The upside is he's getting a college education out of this because every year he plays in the OHL as a year of scholarship in his pocket. So that's pretty good for him. So if nothing else comes out of it, there's that. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to. We will see what can come about this whole thing and if he's able to keep improving, keep getting up, maybe getting the double digits in goals and assists, be huge and play a bigger role in Mississauga since Owen Tippett's gone and they could be going through a little bit of a redo. Remake, as it were, and he could be chief among them. We'll see. 18, 19 years of age, obviously, we'll be getting into the developmental years and the make or break years for a lot of these kids, and we'll see what can come from it. The Belair native doing his best and is draft eligible, I do believe. Don't know if anybody will take a flyer on him, if any scouts see his potential. We'll see. Haven't heard anything wrong the pipe, but who's to say one way or another? And it'll be interesting to see if anybody does take him. And if he does, we might do a little summer episode. And we might do a summer episode regardless. But there it is. There's that. That's Adam Vargas' season in a nutshell. Congrats to him. All the best in summer training. Come back next year bigger and better than before. We'll come back bigger and better next week because that's it. That's all, ladies and gentlemen. You have gotten all the Maryland stuff out of there. There was an interesting video about somebody put out about the NHL and why the Baltimore's not in the NHL. There's a couple things. A, they didn't make the cut in the 67 expansion. B, territorial rights with the Capitals, unless the Caps decide to move away from some for some ungodly reason, then Baltimore's available. But then it's not going to happen. And the whole arena debacle thing. So not going to happen. In any case, that's it. That's all. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Faceoff Hockey Show Media Faction, powered by Blog Talk Radio. At Chesapeake HW Pod is the Twitter handle. FOHS Radio is the Facebook page. And we have a Patreon, too, patreon.com/FaceoffHockeyShow. All the money given there goes right back into the show. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you again next week. And there's only one weekend left here, hon. The O's are playing. They beat the Yankees in 3 games. You see that? That was unbelievable. But the boat's cold. You get ready for summer. Your crabs are out there. It's going to be a good time. One more week left and the Black Bears go down there. Go check out the Black Bears up in Wilkes-Barre-Scranton. That'd be a good time for you. Good time for everybody. Maybe stop by Hershey. Get a big 10-pound chocolate bar. Bring it back home. Put it on the crabs. Be a fun time. We'll see you next week.